everyone. Welcome back to Doing the Least with Cynthia and
Christy.
Hey, everyone.
Hey, guys.
How's it going?
Missed us. It's good. We had a little bit of a hiatus, but I'm happy to be back and recording with you and bring back some fun stuff for people to listen to.
Yes.
Oh no, are you getting over a cold or something?
Yes, actually, I think it was either last week or the week before, I can't remember, but whatever it was, I don't know, we had like fevers and it wasn't COVID, but the whole family got sick, and there's still like some weird phlegm still coming out occasionally.
Yeah,
so that was annoying.
I know. Well, I usually like this time of year because it usually means like my birthday's coming up. But I also hate this time of year because I have really bad seasonal allergies. And last year I ended up like getting really sick, and I don't really know what it was. I think it was just allergies maybe turned into a cold, but I lost my voice for like a month. And I really don't want that to happen again. So I started taking my allergy medication like way in advance. Like I've already been taking it for like a month. Yeah. So we'll see. Hopefully that helps prevent me losing my voice again.
I also want to say that maybe it was like because were you in LA last year at this time?
Yeah, I had just moved. Okay. Yeah. I had just moved back and started a new job, and then like probably 3 weeks into my new job I lost my voice. I was like, oh my god, this is horrible. But yeah,
because I was going to say
it was not fun.
Maybe it was like the allergies up here, because I notice a lot of people in the Bay Area, like once they move here, it's like they acquire these new allergies that they've never had.
Oh, that makes sense. California is like pretty intense when it comes to allergies. I'm not going to lie. Yeah, it's crazy times. But yeah. And then recently I had gone to the doctor and like they had they had said like, hey, do you want to get like the latest booster for COVID? And I didn't even realize that there was another booster.
I didn't know either.
And I was going to get it, but then I was running late for work at that point. So I was like, I will just worry about that later. But yeah, lots of things happening.
I didn't know that there was a booster. And I'm kind of like...
Oh, I thought you would have maybe known.
I mean, I think I might have heard, but like I never actually thought about it. Like, oh, I too would need one or something. But
yeah,
I don't know about that.
I don't know what's going on with COVID right now, but we'll see. But hopefully, you know, and that's nothing to worry about. But we do have some fun questions and topics to go through today, and I think Cynthia, you'll be able to drop a little bit of knowledge and share some of your experiences with us.
Yeah.
And I'm super excited.
Yeah, I'm excited too. So as you guys might recall, last episode we had an amazing attorney interview, the attorney being Christy. And so we just went over her journey through like law school, and just what steps she took and all that. And I guess today we'll be going over that with me
What do you mean, I guess? Of course, your journey is very interesting and was also very inspiring for me. You had kind of started off on that a little bit earlier than I had started on my journey. So it was nice and like inspiring to be a cheerleader on the sidelines as you were doing all that. So
Thank you.
without further ado, our special guest for today's episode is our one and only Cynthia, Nurse Cynthia Cortez,
RN
MSN, right?
Yeah. That's
okay. thank you for being here with us today, Cynthia. I have a few questions for you, but first I'd like to start off with just, well, we know you're a nurse, so I'd like to kind of just start off with seeing how or why you decided to get into this profession.
Okay, so it was very unexpected for me to go into nursing. I was I don't know, I guess first of all, like, I just want to say that I'm very shy about this for whatever reason. Like, when it comes to talking about me, like, yes, I could get, like, very detailed, but it's like, you know, a page of my diary, you know, my life diary.
Yeah.
So when I went to undergrad, I was determined to avoid all sorts of sciences because I realized I can do whatever I want here. So I studied languages and I studied art, the two things that I was like, this is far away from science and math, and I'm going to do whatever I want. So, excuse me, you know, comes, I don't know, my fourth, fifth year. And so then I'm like, okay, well, what am I going to be doing with my life? Like, everybody's graduating. All the fun is kind of dying out. And I'm graduating soon. So I had to think about, like, okay, what am I doing? And I had a housemate, shout out to Amalia, who had mentioned that one of her sisters was an RN. And I don't know, I just always thought the medical field was such a distant thing for me. Like, it's just like, oh, I go to the doctor or whatever. But, like, I just never pictured myself as that. So then, long story short, sort of, I just began to be a little bit curious. I started noticing a lot of diabetes in my family. I started experiencing, like, this, like, enlightenment of, like, oh, wow, like, there isn't a lot of us in healthcare and, you know, representing us. But I didn't actually think about going into being a nurse until I was shadowing a registered dietitian, which originally was what I wanted to do. I wanted to go into food nutrition, food science. And then I shadowed that person, and she was like, you know what, between you and me, RD and registered dietitian is cool, but in reality, being a registered nurse gives you more job security. And she was like, you could do anything. You could do my job. You could be, an educator. You could do, and so just like that flexibility was that I was like, okay. I think this one is like the right path for me. And I started taking all my prereqs after I graduated. I started taking courses in community college, but I guess we'll get into that. But like, basically,
yeah, well, that's, yeah. No, sorry, that's so interesting. So like, you were kind of like shadowing/ like, you had a mentor who I'm so happy was very honest with you, like, at that point, because I feel like sometimes people are either scared, like, when people are kind of in that role as a mentor, I feel like they can be kind of you know, they don't want to discourage people, or they don't really, I don't know, they can kind of hold back on, like, giving people, like, true, honest, like, advice. But that was pretty cool that happened to you. So okay, so then you started to lean in more into that. So then what, like, you realized, like, okay, how do I get into this? Like, what do I need?
Yeah, so I had graduated and I was just doing a bunch of odd jobs, and as well as, like, going to school, because it was mainly like, I never did, like, the basic sciences at my undergrads because I avoided them completely. And I'm like, great, now it bit me in the butt, so now I have to do them. So I spent 3 years at a community college and in Salinas, and then in also, like, Santa Cruz area. And I did my all my prerequisites as I was like shadowing and working in like clinics as like administrative stuff because I didn't have any type of experience at all. I was trying to get into working in the health department. I was being health educators to farm workers. I was teaching Zumba. I
Oh,
was
cute.
a caterer. I was I mean, it was just a bunch of little random things. I remember working at a wound clinic, and that was my first interaction with like the smell of burning flesh, like cauterization,
Oh.
which was disgusting.
What's a wound clinic?
So a wound clinic is like when people have non-healing wounds or they're just really severe. These are specialized nurses that are certified specifically for wound care, and they have surgeons that help out with that. And so they oversee everything that's going on. They place orders. They do skin grafts. So that was my first encounter, and it was just like really interesting. I was just like, wow, nurses can do a whole lot of things. And then there
Yeah.
was a podiatrist focuses on feet. So he's like a, or this guy was a foot doctor. He was like, you should get your doctorate of podiatry medicine. Like it's not your MD, but it's still you get your doctorate. He's like, I earned
Right.
300 grand at the time, which was like 10 years ago. And he's like, I'm a surgeon. I do all these things. And I was like thinking, I don't know. I've had the most random reasons. I was like, I don't want to look at feet all day. Like that's not what I want to do. And so like the variety again of nursing helped me decide that I needed to go into it. Was that your question? I feel like I went in circles.
Yeah, no, I mean that answers it definitely. So you had to take some prerequisites. You took 3 years to do that, and then at what point while you were working and taking your classes, like in those 3 years, were you like, okay, I'm gonna do this, and then I'm gonna apply to nursing school, or like, how did that like, were you always just like ready to just start applying to nursing programs and you were just waiting to get these courses out of the way? Or like, did you take the courses and then you were going to take more time?
Yeah. So I was taking courses and I was like slowly looking into nursing programs and also just asking people who were taking the classes, like, why are you taking this class? And it's like some people were going to apply to med school, they just needed a refresher. Other people were like, yeah, I'm gonna apply to nursing school, but like they were just at different points in their lives. And I started searching and looking around for nursing school prerequisites of what they required, and the majority of them require like the same prerequisites, like the transcripts, certain classes, like typical, like what was it? Physiology, anatomy, the clinic. The lab portion, chemistry, two or three different types of chemistry, statistics. I mean the prerequisites probably change and also vary from school to school. I think some of them also required like a GRE test or something. I could be wrong. It's been a while, but I remember looking at like what schools do I want to go to, what location do I want to go to, because at the time I was single, I was ready to learn, I was just really excited about life, and thinking also that I wanted to do a master's program, and so that kind of limited my application, because if you get a bachelor's then it's like the whole nation, the whole world even. But if you want to get a master's, entry level master's, because I had bachelor's and other degrees that were non-science, or non-nursing, it kind of limits it, which was even better because I need that to focus. That's when I realized, okay, I'm there, I'm gonna apply, And I did apply one round and I got rejected because I applied to Columbia, Yale, I don't know, just like these like top names that I was just like, I don't know what I was thinking, like, you know.
Well, I mean, okay, so, but you did that for a reason, right? Wishful thinking, number one, but also like hopeful because you knew what you were about and like you thought like, hey, it's not like there's a chance, it's not like you had no chance, you know what I mean? like you knew there was an opportunity there.
Yeah, and also I started getting into the mindset of like, there are so many people in all these schools. I really want to know what this is about. Also, I did know two people that had graduated from a similar program through, I think they went to Yale. I think they did go to, or was it Columbia? No, they went to Yale. And they became, at least one of the NPs, the nurse practitioners, like she became a mentor when I was working as a front desk clerk. And I was just like, kind of like checking in, like trying to build mm-hmm. relationships and stuff. And I don't know, she was just very encouraging. And I mm-hmm. to this day, I appreciate her so much. Jenny.
okay.
But seeing that like she was able to do it, I was like, oh, she's human and she's really cool and she's like awesome and probably a genius, which she is. But also yeah. like I want to be like her, you know. So
mm-hmm.
We could have been buddies in Connecticut.
I know, that's true. So okay, so you applied twice then.
Yeah, I did. So I got rejected the first round, and I was like, you know what, this just gives me more time to really think about like, is this what I want, and also it helps me build experience. And then so the second round, I think the first round I was waitlisted and then rejected from like Columbia, and then the second time I applied, can't remember if I applied there. I think I applied to Columbia, and then even like San Francisco State waitlisted me, because mm-hmm. getting, so I applied out of state because getting into a California school for nursing is very difficult. Even in the community colleges, they do lotteries because the demand of becoming a nurse is so high. Because I'm thinking, I don't know, because the pay is really well in California, and like people who reside here, I don't know. That wasn't my incentive of becoming a nurse, though. I had no idea about all okay. that until later.
Well, that's so interesting. I didn't realize that. So did you know that already? Like, or I how began did you to come learn to find out?
It. Sorry, I got it.
Okay. No, that's fine. So you began to learn about it as you were applying, or like as you were getting ready to apply?
As I was getting ready to apply, as I was taking like classes at the community college, because that specific one, mm-hmm. they were like, if you guys are trying to get into this program, remember you need XYZ and it might take years. And I had heard of people who had waited like 6 years to become a nurse and they were working as like a medical assistant. And I was like, I don't have that time. I don't want that time to like, wait, you know? But yeah. I mean, the cost difference, I'm sure, would have been significant. So
it's still more affordable to go to school in California, yeah. is what you're saying?
Yeah, if you're in state, okay. it's much more affordable. So I ended up okay. accepting. I actually got accepted again here in California. Like, it was too late. I had put down my deposit. And I could have let okay. those go, but I could have gone to school in San Francisco. And then it just didn't. I was just like, you know what? It's in my gut. I'm just going to go. And I did.
You know what? That you snooze, you lose. They took too long, right?
They're like, wait. And then I was just like, no, like I'm
like, I've been waiting.
I mentally was already like excited. I had, you know, been preparing, like, all right, I'm moving to DC. This is what's happening. And so my program was for 2 years and the move was fun, scary, interesting. And
tell me about okay, so I know about like why the decision was like easy and stuff like that, but as you got closer to that time when you were about to start school, well, let me just backtrack a little bit, sorry. So you just mentioned the program was 2 years. Were all the programs going to be 2 years? like no matter where you went?
It depends. So for bachelor's, it's like 4 years. Oh, accelerated bachelor's are about 2 years. Master's programs, I think they vary from 2 to 3 years. So mine was 24 months, 2 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's because you had already a bachelor's and had completed the requirements,
Yes.
right? Like for nursing. Okay. Okay, so then it's time you're getting ready to pack up your life for 2 years to go to DC. But like, was it always going to be just 2 years and you're going to come back? Or were you kind of thinking like, we'll see where life takes me?
Yeah, I didn't know. I had just started dating my now husband, sort of. Well, not really. It had been like 6 months, I think. And I was just like, well, I got in, I'll see you later. Because at that point, that's where my like feel, my vibe, my spirit was as far as like life. I was like, all right, take me wherever. And it was not. So I maintained the relationship with Jose, with my now husband, and I didn't know. I mean, I guess the plan was to come back, but who knows? My mind changes a lot, and at that point, I was just like really open to everything. So I ended up coming back.
Okay, good. I mean, I'm like, I was like listening, like if I didn't know the end already. Okay, so obviously you guys had talked about the fact that you were going to be going to school on the other side of the country for like 2 years and were able to make it work and somehow found a way to do all that. And I'm sure I'll have more questions about that later, but so tell me a little bit about what you did to prepare for your move to DC and like just to prepare to like start a nursing program.
Yeah, so they had us do like a pre summer class before we moved or before like classes started. And it was with the whole cohort. So our cohort was, I think, like 30 people starting, which was actually really small. And these were people from all different types of backgrounds, people that had worked in research, people would have like biology degrees, people who were teachers, people who were newscasters, and they decided to change their career choices, child development. Some people had been in law school and like decided that wasn't for them. Like so many different people from all sorts of walks of life, and that's what was beautiful about this. I remember even with my application, I had to like submit a video, which was interesting.
Oh, cute.
Yeah. And I remember taking the class and just feeling really intimidated. And it was a non-graded class. It was just to kind of give a feel of what it's gonna be like. And so all these people were so I don't know, like applied to their like looks and like just very proper, like very, I don't know, just it was a little like intimidating, because I was like, oh man, am I gonna fit in? Like, is this am I am I gonna be smart enough? So there was a little bit of panic as far as like, am I gonna be able to do this? And I just had to like keep going, and I had to have the mentality of like, even when I applied my for all the applications, I put on this one song on repeat that was like, it's very like folky, it's very Mexican. And I just was thinking about my grandparents, my ancestors, as like cheesy as that sounds. But I was just like, okay, I have to do this. I have to do this. And I would just like motivate myself and put like signs in my room saying, never give up, right? Because it's like,
Oh.
it's such an uncomfortable space to put yourself out
Yeah.
there and like show who you are and show you them like how, I guess, intelligent you are based on their tests and stuff. But I remember like being at a hospital because my great aunt was like sick.
And seeing how rude the nurse was.
Like seeing how, like, I was like, I could do her job. I could do it better, and I could be nice about it. You know what I mean? And
Yeah.
so you know, all those thoughts were just kind of like preparing me to mentally, like, all right, I need to find my roommate. And, you know, the school provided websites to find roommates, to find locations to live. So it's not like you're completely alone, because everybody's doing something similar to you. Like, they're all moving or starting this new chapter. And so everybody's excited and very, like, sensitive to that. And so there was some support. And I immediately, like, made friends with, like, certain people that I saw mm-hmm. in that class. And so I started, like, texting them and just, like, feeling them out and just trying to, like, grab a hold of anyone who would want to be my friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Oh. Well, that's really good. Well, I think I've told this story before, but I always remember how you became my friend in undergrad, and it was because you, like, just came up to me and said hi, and then, like, you were just,
it could be a survival tactic, like, just naturally, innately. It's like, I need to have a friend, like, I want to live with someone as far as, like, going through the same things, you know? So it's, like, that sense of wanting to belong, you know?
Yeah, well, that's good. And I know it worked for you, so. Okay, so then tell me about, like, I don't know how it worked. Was it, like, semesters or quarters or, like, accelerated courses?
Yeah, we had, like, semesters. So what was interesting about this program is that it was brand spanking new. We were the first graduating class that they had developed this for, and so they were actually still, like, developing it. They're like, we're going to provide you guys with the material. So they actually trained us like nurse practitioners, because that was kind of like only master's level content that they had, or like material curriculum stuff. And so then everybody, like, a little skeptical, like, wait, so are we getting our NP, like, certification or license or whatever? Like, how does that work? Or they're like, oh, no, like, you're getting your master's, but it's, like, a different specialty. We're just using this, and it'll, like, kind of encompass everything. So we learned from, we went from 0 to 100 in semester styles. It was very strenuous. I was very, it was just, I think I went a little, like, crazy depressed during the summer, because that was, like, the most intense for me, because it was, like, I think it was, like, pharmacology, so all, like, the medications. And at some point, I hated also pathophysiology, but I loved it. So, like, I had a love-hate relationship, because I wanted to keep learning, and I found it so fascinating. Like, oh, my gosh, this disease and, like, you know, all these things. But I needed more time. So I just, I don't know, I felt like I was just, like, a slower learner.
But you liked it. It was just, like, the way programs are designed, where you just have to kind of learn it within this time frame and then take a test about it. Yeah. And it's, like, that takes the fun out of learning sometimes.
It completely does. And so I still have my pathophysiology book, which is, about, like, the diseases of your physiology, your body and stuff. And so I was actually thinking, like, I want to look back at it and just, like, read, because it's, like, so interesting. Like, I follow Instagram things on, like, what rare disease do you think this is? And as a nurse, you're not supposed to diagnose. But they kind of trained us that way, to, like, think that way, to do, like, assessments. Like, this is abnormal, right? So it's like we overstudied for a test. Because, like, in the end, like, 100% of our class passed the RN, the NCLEX, which is the... RN certification license test. And so they were very proud, like, our class passed at 100%. It was just like,
that's really amazing. I have had a lot of nurses in my friend groups over the years, and I have heard about that infamous test quite a bit, and I know it's difficult. And can you tell me a little bit about that test? Like, how often is it administered? Like, how long is it? How much does it cost to take it? How long does it take for you to get results from your test?
Oh, man. So I have a worse memory as far as, like, long term. the way that you recalled everything, like step by step, Christy, on yours, I was just like, wow, that's fascinating. It was a blur, as well as, like, you know, because it was like anxiety of like the whole test and prepping. It was a blur. But all I remember is that we were able to graduate. You know, we walked, and then we had like a summer class. So we walked in May of 2017, and then we still had class, and then people were like already getting jobs and like promising their bosses like, yeah, I'm gonna like pass this test, like and so people were like already getting jobs. I was like, wait, that sounds weird. So I mean, but people do that still to this day, like new grads,
right?
But I wasn't that lucky as far as like getting a job immediately. So I applied. We had to let our school know where we were going to be taking the NCLEX. I was planning on going back to California, and like there was like a number of us, and we were just like sprinkled throughout the US. So it was really nice to like meet different people from different states and stuff. And so it was a little handful of us that we were gonna do California, and so they kind of would separate us, and they'd be like, all right, for California, you guys are gonna do this. This is what you need to do. Blah 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 blah. And they're the experts, and they guided us. You know, I was able to get to that point where I was like, yeah, like we're gonna take this test. In the meantime, though, like throughout the entirety of the 2 years, we would be taking. I think we would be taking tests to prep us. Mm-hmm. What was it called? It was like, it wasn't the T's. It was like ATI. Yeah, ATI testing. And so these were like almost like Kaplan types, but it was testing for the testing prep for the NCLEX. And then we graduated. I left in August, and then I was trying to enjoy myself and ignore the fact that I needed to take this really like important test. And I took a month to study, I think in September, and then took it in October, and then I didn't find out until no, I took September to find to study, and then I took it in October, and then I found out like a few weeks later, I think it was. I don't remember. Okay,
so it's a pretty quick turnaround, it seems like.
Yeah, oh my gosh, because there's constantly people like taking tests. I remember I had to go to like the location. There's like a bunch of people. You go and like there's one person monitoring, and like you're in the computer, and like the NCLEX is infamous for these terrible questions of like, oh, okay, like selection A, B, C, D, and they're all the similar, they just vary by like, you know, the color pink and yellow or something, and then it's just like, wait a minute, and then there's always like select all. And so what they say is that some of them could be true, but you have to choose the most truest or like the most appropriatest. And that's a like a mind game, and it was very but like in the end, like some people were like, oh, it was super easy, and like I tend to overthink it, so I think it was like okay, like it wasn't hard, because in the end I was like, wow, they really over prepared us. And I took a Kaplan test course prep class in those 30 days, and it was expensive. I want to say it was like $800 or something crazy. I was like, damn,
to take the test or the prep course?
The prep course. Okay. The test itself, I don't know, I could probably Google it now. It, for whatever reason, the numbers like 30 are coming to mind, so I don't know if it was like $30 or $300. I don't remember.
Okay. You were just like, I gotta pay for it. I'm just gonna pay for it. Yeah, I don't know how much it is.
I mean, and then also like paying for everything was just, it was just annoying, because I mean, it was private. I didn't have any like scholarships or anything, so I have loans to this day that I am paying off. So just make sure to be aware of your financial choices and taking student loans and stuff. And But I wouldn't change a thing. You know, it's made me who I am. So whatever.
Yeah. Were there ever any moments when you were in the program where you were like really struggling to keep going? Like, were you ever questioning like your choice to do that, or was you like, were you always like committed to it?
I had a few buddies that helped me out, and then there was a point where it's like I felt really alone, because it was like, you know, like people are so different over there, and it's like you don't see people who look like you or sound like you, usually. But for me, that's really important. And I think it was summer, the summer class, because I think we did 2 summers, right? It was, or 3 summers technically, before we started the middle one. And then the final one. So it was like the middle one that was like the hardest for me, because I think we were doing like a mental health one, like a psychology, yeah, mental health nursing. And I was like, oh my gosh, I have all these diagnoses. Like, I'm going crazy. Like, I was self-diagnosing. I felt alone. And, you know, I think it was a little bit of depression. I was homesick, I think. I didn't really go home much, maybe like a few times, just because it was so expensive. Mm-hmm. So expensive, like, I don't know, $300, $400 or something. $200 maybe if I got a sale. But I was like, ah, whatever, like, I'll just power through. But, you know, I FaceTimed with my mom and with family and with my boyfriend at the time, now husband, and that helped me. But I talk to him now, and even after, he was like, I thought you were gonna come home. He's like, it really sounded like you were just done. Wow.
Like, yeah,
yeah, because it was really hard. It was like a mind game, like, yeah. And I would text you and call you a lot too, I remember, at,
yeah, some point, because we were the same time zone.
Yeah.
I remember that too.
I powered through.
Yeah, no, and I'm glad you did. What about like balancing your life? You know, like, obviously you're dedicating a lot of time to school and studying, but like, how did you find time to balance your relationship, or even just like downtime or self-care or any of the other things that, yeah, you need to keep yourself feeling good?
I had wonderful roommates. And so I kind of followed in their footsteps. So whenever like they went out, like I would go and they would invite me, or, the food and going out scene in DC is really fun. So there was never like a dull moment with that. But also like, oh man, I need to do like laundry and I need to organize, yeah, which that was hard for me. And I remember like showing my room to a few of my cohort friends, and I was like, don't look, like, it's terrible. And they're like, how bad could it be? And they're like, oh wow, that's pretty bad. But you know, just like trying to, I'm a foodie, I've always been a foodie, and so then just like trying to eat out and get all that experience, that provided me some good mental health wellness. And I subscribed, or I joined a massage like membership or something, and so I would do that as well. So that was
okay.
I was like, oh, you do this, I guess I should too, let me try it. And so I was just really open to try everything.
Definitely worth it. And did you live with people that were also in your field or like in your program?
The first year I did not. They were in an MBA program, so Masters of Business A.
Administration,
yeah, sure. I think so.
I think so.
And she was really cool. And then so she would like learn about like nursing, and she would tell me about like business, and I was just like, that's so random, business. But like now I'm just like, damn, I should have gone into that. No. Just kidding. And then, yeah, second year, I did have someone actually in my cohort. Christine, shout out. Her name's Christine as well.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good, though. I mean, I think that probably is helpful, right? To be with people that know what you're going through. Yes. And are also going through it.
Yes, exactly.
They can respect, like, downtime or, like, quiet time. Yeah. Or space or...
Yeah.
All that stuff. Okay. And then, let's see. What, you know, now that, like... You did the program 2 years in, you passed the test, you're an RN, you already walked and all of that. Like, when you took the test, did you already move back to California? You did, yeah. Right? I think you mentioned that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then you're back in California, and are you thinking, like, let me get a job now? Or what was your, like, goal when it came to, like, work?
Yeah, so I remember just wanting to focus on the test. I passed the test, and I actually, when I found out the results, no joke, I had a panic attack. My heart started racing out of nowhere, and I was like, oh, shit, it's begun. So I guess what my mind thought at that moment, it was like, all right, it's time. Go, little duckling. Like, it's time to be a nurse. And I was like, oh, gosh, like, I'm so scared, right? Because it's like, now show them what you got, right?
Yeah.
And I applied. I remember texting another friend, telling them that, like, it was so hard. So this was 2017. It was so hard to get a job at that time here in California in the Bay Area. I don't know why. Maybe I just didn't have enough experience. Maybe they just didn't like my name. I don't know. But I applied, no joke, to, like, I want to say at least 70 jobs. Some of them being new grad jobs. Like, they have residencies, so they have opportunities for new grads to be a part of their cohort, like, in a hospital. And then they teach them the ropes of, like, how they do it there. They're very sensitive to the fact that, you know, we're new. So it's, like, everything's fresh and we have no idea what we're doing. I got rejected from a lot of jobs. It so much that it, again, I was like down, excuse me, that it took 6 months to get a job, my first job. And when I got that first job, I was like, yes, like, I started crying. I was with my boyfriend, and I was like, oh my gosh, like, I just got an it, like, after the interview, like, I just got it. And so it was such a nice moment. So I lived with my parents, and then soon after, I was able to, get engaged, and then we got married, and, I worked night shift. So as my first job, I was in a new grad residency. I worked in a telemetry unit, which is, like, basically someone just with a monitor and their heart monitor, and they just have those little stickies, and they're just checking up on them. And so they were very, like, heart focused, that unit. So we got to see things that, like, people who've had heart attacks, people who get those bypasses where, like, they have heart condition, like, heart disease, when they get CABGs, so the coronary artery bypass graft. So sometimes they get, like, their veins or, like, their from the their legs, and they get them on their heart. So, like, really, like, intense, like, patients. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, this is, like, crazy.
Yeah.
But it was really, it was such a great experience. But it was night shift, and I was a complete zombie. I was not able to, like, live my life. I would go to, like, baptisms, like, the morning of coming out of a shift, and I was just, like, a zombie. I was awake for, I don't know, it just, it was just crazy. And then I was like, all right, I gotta leave. I did this for, I think it was, like, a year and a half or close to 2 years. I was like, okay. I think this is enough experience. Like, I'm okay. And I was able to get a job in outpatient because ultimately my goal was to be like in primary care or like do diabetes education or something. And I did get a job at the county, up north, and but it was like no benefits. They paid well, but it was like no benefits. And yeah. So then I was like, okay, well, I guess I'm learning the ropes. And I had these fabulous coworkers just like teach me everything about outpatient, because inpatient in the hospital was completely different, right? Like, you have your medications, you have the doctors on call, you can give these medications because the orders are already in there. You know, you save lives, you're like constantly on the lookout, like, oh man, is this guy gonna like pass out now, or like, oh, his blood pressure is so high or so low, and like, but you are constantly like getting that support in a team setting, because it's acute, you know, they're in the hospital, they're, of course they're sick. And clicking that, from going from the, in the hospital to outside of the hospital, took like a week or two at least, because I had a patient in the outpatient and their heart rate was above 100. It was like 116, and normal, typically heart rate is 60 beats per minute to 100, and this person's heart rate was 116. But I was in a cardiac unit. You typically would yeah. see that if there was some sort of abnormality. It's like, oh, okay, it's because they have atrial fibrillation, and you know, their heart's a little out of whack, but you know, that's why they're here, and like, we're getting them checked out, getting everything settled, making sure they're safe. Well, in the outpatient, I don't know where my mind was. I guess maybe I was just too excited to be there. And I was like, oh yeah, their heart rate's 116. And like, my manager was like, Cynthia, like, are you serious? Like, yeah. it's 116. Like, this isn't the hospital. Like, we got to see what's going on. Like, are they okay? I'm like, oh yeah, they're perfectly fine. They're like, chill, like, whatever.
And then I was
like, oh my gosh. I'm like, and they're just like questioning me, like, oh no, no, I'm like, I'm a good RN, I swear. It's just like, I don't know what my mind, I was like, my patients were like, their heart rates would go to like, when it was bad, it was like, you know, 160, 150s. And it was like, all right.
Oh my gosh.
Drip, or not the drip. Yeah, the drips, amiodarones and all that. So anyways, I have had a, you know, experience in the inpatient, in the outpatient primary care. I was in another primary care for a few years, and that was interesting. And I love the patients. Just, you know, nursing dynamics, coworkers, can be a little bit different than your normal coworkers, I would say. And currently I'm in research, and so it just goes to show you that like, nursing has a lot of variety in what you can do. And who knows, like, maybe I'll go into aesthetics, I don't know.
That would be really fun.
Yeah,
I feel like that. Really?
Yeah, I mean, not now, but maybe as like a side point. Gig on the weekends or something, I don't know.
Oh, I would love that.
Yeah, but overall, I mean, becoming a nurse has been very taxing emotionally, very draining physically. I know that nurses get injured. It's such a hard career. Like, I had no idea how difficult it can be. Like, initially it's just kind of like, I'm just trying to help people, like, I just want to help you. And then it's yeah. like, there's so much to it. There's so much psychology to it. Your interactions with, you know, your coworkers. It's like, we're all learning, and not everybody's on the same page. People are new. People have been doing this for decades. And so it's a lot of people dynamics. And I mean, ultimately, we're all just human. We're just trying to live, help others by any way we can, but I feel a lot of people lose sight of that. So yeah, I mean, if I were to consider nursing again, I mean, I guess I would, but knowing now what I've learned, it's like, I don't know, you go in with a shield, you know, try to protect yourself and make sure everything's safe. And I don't know if what I'm saying even makes sense, but like, I'm not saying people not to go into nursing. Go into nursing. It's just be prepared that there's just so much to it. And you do you. And if it works out, it works out. And I don't know, maybe I was just too sensitive to a lot of the dynamics of acute care, like being in the hospital. Oof, I got so nervous and anxiety because there are a lot of people just left and right that you had to just be cautious about. Nothing ever like happened to any of my patients, but I was always just so paranoid, like, oh my gosh, like, why are you telling me that this guy's almost gonna pass out? Like, but I mean, that's what it is. That's what nursing is. And it's like, if it's not for me, then I learned that it wasn't for me. And so there's a variety of things that we can do. So that's the upside to everything.
Okay, I think you kind of touched on my next question, which would have been, if you were to give advice to someone that's just getting into it.
Completely.
And what would you say to them? And kind of like advice framed in the sense, like, what would someone getting into this field need to know, or what qualities or characteristics should they have in order to be successful?
I think it's important to be alert, to be a little paranoid, a little nervous, to be aware of like worst case scenarios. But try to separate that from your personal life, because then it's like you're going into movie theaters thinking worst case scenarios, what would I do, right? And so I think it's important that you are sensitive and open to learning, and to like really feeling patients out and even your coworkers. And if you see something that's wrong, report it. So there's a lot of ethical situations that you will encounter, so I think it's important to do the right thing and like follow your gut. If something does not feel right, just make sure to figure out what will make it right. And if this is a situation where people don't care and the toxicity level is like just only increasing, it's like I think it's important you bring it to light, you report it, you document it, so that it doesn't continue to happen, because people can really like suffer, patients, coworkers, and the hospital itself as far as like costs. And it's not all dark and gloomy nursing. There's so much to learn. There's so much that we have at our hands that we can continue to improve. So I do see that there's much more strength in our numbers in nursing, and I think there's optimism. It's not all terrible. There's a lot of like humor Instagram nurses, like influencers, because there has to be some like light in all this darkness, you know,
like, but the dancing doc, no, that's a I think he's a dentist, but there's like a dancing doctor or something. Do you know what I'm talking about on TikTok?
Maybe. I do mainly Instagram, so like my thing is like Nurse Blake or Nurse John, or the L&D nurse, I forgot her name, but I mean, like, just like know your stuff, then like keep asking questions, do your thing, and evaluate to see if that's what you like. I don't know, it just do what your heart tells you to do. And your wallet. Just kidding.
Yeah. the other thing I wanted to ask you, because I know, I mean, I've talked to you over the years. I know kind of a little bit of the feelings you've had towards your jobs, or maybe like your field in general, so to speak. And I'm just wondering at what point this started for you, because I know COVID was a really big, had a huge impact on I already forgot the term that was used around that time, but you know, healthcare workers. And so I'm just wondering, like, if you were already experiencing like some feelings of like, I don't want to say frustration, but you know, if you were already kind of having a little bit of a I don't even want to say negative either, but like you kind of already kind of started to look at things a little bit more critically, whether that happened before COVID or like after COVID just heightened that for you, or
I want to say COVID was very it like shined a giant bright light on situations, and it amplified and magnified issues. Like if they were there, they were just like times 100, and people were overworked, and people were I actually was very blessed and I did not have to go into the hospital. I was actually a new hire, so because I was still under orientation and I actually had just found out that I was pregnant, it was interesting to witness all that. But then after things kind of got back to sort of normal, like close to 2021 or a little after, like in the beginning of 2021, you started to like see how first people were thankful, and then it went to like burnout, and then it's like they're not thankful anymore, they're frustrated, people are dying, nothing is being done, or like, you know, like, and it was just like a whole sentiment as like a whole career type of people, like healthcare workers. And it was like, I don't know, like it's, and ever since then it's kind of lingered. I know a lot of good things came out of COVID, but also a lot of things were amplified and a lot has to change still. And so if anything, I would just tell new grads, like, have thick skin, but also listen to your heart and your gut. Be open to learning, because I think anything can help you in your career or in life.
Okay. And then what about what's next for Cynthia? Because you kind of already touched on it, that you maybe you'll get into aesthetics. So that tells me that you're like still looking at new things within the field. So I'm just wondering, what's next?
Well, I don't know. I don't know what's next. Excuse me. I think I want to stay where I currently am for as long as I can. But I'm always like looking for different things. I love doing things on the side. I mean, we're doing this podcast. That's like something creative. I opened up another like store, aside from my Etsy store online. And I've been, I have like another channel on YouTube that I did for like self-care. So I don't know, just random things. Maybe I'll try to get into cooking again. And I think there's just a lot to do within the online world. And so as far as nursing goes, I'm still trying to figure out how I'm going to incorporate like creative outlets and nursing. For a second, I've been thinking about like a PhD in nursing, because then I could incorporate things and it gives me like more weight to what I wanna do, which is kind of ultimately like, I don't know, maybe like be my own boss of some sort. I don't know exactly. I don't know what the future will hold, but I have a lot of dreams and aspirations that I still want to do. And who knows, maybe I'll become a professional basketball player. Like, you know, like I'm just so random that like I'm really open to things if it allows it in my heart, in my energy, and also time with my family, because that's become like number one priority. Then it's like, then I'll do it, you know, like if it allows, I'll do it.
Okay. So it's, you don't know what the future holds, but it may or may not include nursing is what I'm hearing.
Sure. I mean, it could integrate it. I could completely just dump it.
Yeah.
No, but It's a part of my career journey, and so I don't know. I'm curious. Maybe aesthetics because it integrates, I think, like a form of art, sculpture. I don't know. But I love to learn. That's all I know. And I'm open to learning. So maybe I'll go to med
Okay.
school. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. Well, any closing thoughts about just what we talked about today or anything that you feel like you'd like to share?
I just want to thank you, Christy, for supporting me in my hardest times during nursing school and coming to my graduation and cheering me on. And,
That was so fun.
and then just being able to, share our journeys that were different but similar. And, we're trying to be like, we are being professionals and working in our field, and it's really nice to know that we've come so far. Like, I don't want to be a negative Nancy of like, oh, nursing is the worst, because it's not. There's passion in there for me still. I just need to find it again, because I think I got a little burned out. And I don't know, just I'm very thankful where I am. I'm very grateful. Because everything just teaches us a little more of what we need to do in life. So,
Yeah, and you've definitely had a chance to do a lot, or kind of dabble with different things
yeah.
within the field. So that's good, because your experience is broad, and that's better informing you like on how you feel about it and stuff. Okay, well, thank you so much for sharing your story with us. I feel like I learned a lot about nursing. I thought I knew some things just from hearing, you talk about it over the years, but I feel like I learned more. And yeah, I appreciate you sharing and taking the time to answer these questions. We have nothing further at this time, but if you listeners have any questions for Cynthia and nursing or anything like that, feel free to submit your questions or comments. Our email is doingtheleastpodcast@gmail.com, or you can find us on Instagram, which I am forgetting the handle at this moment. I think
It's
it's just doing
DTL
the least
podcast.
podcast, DTL podcast, or
Doing the least
doing the least
podcast.
podcast. It's one of those things.
I need my
And then we'll
coffee though.
definitely, yeah, same here. We're both not having our morning coffee this morning before recording, which I don't know why we thought that was a good idea. We should have just taken 5 minutes and made coffee real quick. But okay, yeah, we'll read your comments and answer any questions in the next one.
That's right. Thank you so much again for everything. It's Doing the Least Podcast.
Doing the Least Podcast on Instagram.
All right, everyone. Well, thank you again. And thank you for doing the
Doing the
least.
least.